Morning, everyone. It's great to see you today. Cam mentioned earlier on that we have our church AGM in a couple of weeks. I think it's 2.5 weeks' time. This year for our AGM, and always at our AGMs, is when we elect our church leadership, our council, if you will. This year we have four of our community standing for those positions: John, David, Stephen, and Jarvis. Four people very committed to the life and ministry of this church. If you are a member here, you will receive an electronic ballot in the next day or so. Now, if you don't, that means that the primary email that we have for you is probably not the correct one. So if you don't receive one, would you please let us know in the office or directly to myself, and we can kind of correct that for you. I realised when I was looking at that slide that they're all guys. Can I just say that it's not intentional in the life of this church? We've always had a mix of women and men who are a part of our leadership council, and we currently have two other ladies on our team at the moment, but that's who we're standing for our leadership this year. We would ask you to be praying for this process as we go through it. Now, some of you will say, if you're a member, some of you will say, I actually don't know person A or B. When you get your ballot, if you click on their name, there's actually a whole lot of detail telling you their story. And we would ask you to be prayerfully as you reflect as to who you are electing into our church leadership. Thank you so much for your ongoing support. So that's part of our AGM. It's important for you to know that as well. It'd be great. We're going to look at today at the third of our pathways, and it's called the Bible Path. But before we get into that, let me start with a simple, well, it's kind of a simple question. I think it's a profound question. If God exists, how would you know what he is like? If God exists, how would you know what he is like? For some people think that God is distant. Some people think that God is harsh. Some people think that God is loving. Some people aren't even sure if he's there at all. Are those ideas true? Or are they guesses? Because it's kind of a question that sits at the underneath foundation of almost every human life, whether we realise it or not. What is God really like? Not just what we've heard, or not just what we've been told, but what is God really like? Because if God exists, knowing him matters more than anything else. Isn't it? If God exists, knowing him matters more than anything else. And yet when we begin to think about God, we kind of quickly run into a problem, don't we? Because the truth is, God is mysterious. Isn't it? God is an element of mystery. For how can the created understand the creator? God's not like anything else we know. I mean, you can study a subject at school. You can understand a system and how it works. And maybe you can figure out a problem. But God? I mean, God is infinite. God is beyond us. Not something we can put under a microscope, is he? The prophets of the Old Testament recognized this. In one of them, by the name of Isaiah, wrote these words. He said that my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. So God's thoughts are nothing like our thoughts. My ways, God's ways, are far beyond anything you can imagine. There's a gap. I understand other humans because I'm a human. But how would I understand God? We still long to know God, but the struggle is to comprehend God, to understand God. I mean, imagine you're invited into a large house and you're told that someone important lives there, but you never see them. You walk through the rooms. And so as you do that, you observe things. You see maybe art on the walls, the furniture, how things are arranged. Maybe there's photos in different places. And you begin to form an idea of what the people who live there are like. But the problem is you've never met them. So everything you think is kind of a bit partial, isn't it? It's incomplete. In many ways, that's kind of what it's like with God. We can observe. We can think. We can even speculate. But God is not like anything else. For God is beyond us. And that creates this tension, doesn't it? You can see the tension, can't you? If we want to know God, and yet on the other hand, we completely can't grasp God, how do we join those two things together? How do we make them make sense? Well, what we do, I think, is we start as humans with our best efforts. Some of us, we turn to science or reason and logic. We engage in philosophical debates about the very nature of who God might be. For others, we open ourselves to spiritual experiences, a sense of what my feelings might be, or intuition, or even a spiritual encounter. For some, we try to find what God is by trying to kind of to reach God by living in a life that we might see as religiously right, full of effort. Maybe they point us a bit in the right direction. I mean, the Bible says that all of us as humans, we each have this sense of morality, of right and wrong. We each have this sense of eternity, that there is something more within us. Sociologists will tell us that the one thing that is common to all human groups and societies throughout all of history is that there is always a search for the sacred, a seeking for meaning and purpose beyond ourselves. And our efforts can be helpful, can't they? But it's like none of them are quite enough. It's like trying to climb a mountain. I don't know if you've ever done this. You know, you've been for a hike, you've tried to climb a mountain, and the peak of it is covered in clouds. And you climb higher and higher, you gain perspective, you see more, but the peak, it's still covered. In many ways, that's what it's like trying to reach God on our own. Because here's the reality. See, if God is truly infinite, us as finite, we cannot climb to him. No matter how intelligent you are, no matter how spiritual you feel, in fact, no matter even how disciplined you are religiously, we cannot by our own effort discover God. But here's the good news that I want to share with you today. You ready for this? The good news is this: as much as we can't discover God, the Christian message is radically different, because God reveals himself to us. No matter how hard we try, we've got the ultimate response in that God reveals himself to us. He wants to make himself known, this God who speaks. God reveals himself. He reveals himself in creation. The psalmist writes these beautiful words. He says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God." And when you look at the vastness of the universe, the intricacy of life, my family and I yesterday, we spent some time in honour of David Attenborough's 100th anniversary watching a couple of Attenborough documentaries. I'm not sure if you've ever watched those things, but they're amazing. All right? It's kind of insightful into something special. You get a glimpse of this sense that there is a creator beyond these things, that there is some sense of design and meaning in the creation. God revealed in his work. Of course, as a Christian church, we would say that God reveals himself primarily in Jesus. This extraordinary claim that God makes himself known, the infinite makes himself known in the finite. John puts it this way: no one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God, Jesus, who is near to the Father's heart, he reveals God to us. What a gift. You see, Jesus is not just a teacher about God. Jesus is a revelation of God. I mean, if you want to know what God is like, look at what Jesus does, how he treats people, what he cares about. I mean, imagine reading a novel. You know, you love the story, but you wonder, what's the author really like? Now, imagine that that author wrote themselves into the story. You don't just read about them, you meet them. That's what God does in Jesus. And God also reveals himself through his word, through the Bible, through scripture. You see, we don't just get these ideas, we get the sense of God speaking to humanity. We see his character revealed. We begin to understand his purposes, his mission, the things that are important. We understand his relationship with people. Paul writes these words to Timothy, says that all of scripture is inspired by God. This is the things that's useful to teach us what's true, to make us realize what's wrong in our life, it corrects us when we're wrong, teaches us to do what's right, uses us to prepare and equip us. God's word, which reveals who God is and what his purposes are. You see, the desire is for humanity to know God, not for God to be hidden. I want to say to you today, that is why as a church, we value the word of God. It's not just a sacred writing of a historical nomadic ethnic group, the Jewish people, or something like that. It's more. It's God's divine revelation of himself. God's divine revelation of who he is. It contains life-transforming information. It's the answer to that existential question that we ask, who is God? And in Acts chapter 2, as we read this passage, it tells us that all of the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching is, who is God? They weren't studying to pass an exam. No. They were desiring to be fed by God, to know him more, to have their lives changed, to grow. They were living out what the prophet Jeremiah wrote in the Old Testament. He says, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They were my joy, my heart's delight. It's why when we preach, we center on God's words, not my words or some other preacher's words. It's why we encourage all of our church community to spend time with God each day, reading and feeding on God's word. Because it reveals who he is. And not only does it reveal who he is, it begins to transform us. It was Jesus who said, we don't live on bread alone, but on the words that comes from the mouth of God. We need food for our physical bodies, and we need food for our spiritual bodies. Hebrews would say that God's word is active. That's what it is when we eat. God's word is active. It brings transformation in us. That's why we want to value the word of God. Not because it's some old-timey sacred text, but because it is life-changing, life-transforming when God does his work through it. You know, there's a couple of parts in the Bible which talk this expression. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. God's word is good news. It is hope. It is meaning. It is love. It is life-changing. How beautiful then are the feet of those who bring good news to those who need good news. Paul writes that encouragement in Romans chapter 10. He takes what was good news for those 1,000 years beforehand and says, the world needs to know of this good news. Now we might think about hearing good news like today when I'm speaking. But you know what? You can also read good news. You can hear through your eyes. If good news is translated, if it's printed, it makes a difference. Now I'm going to invite a friend of mine up here. Come up here, David. You know that across the world at the moment that there are approximately, thank you Cam, 7,163 living languages. Of those, 1,677 languages do not even have a copy of God's word in their heart language. You know, you might have heard that expression, heart language, before. It refers to the language that people who sometimes speak multi-language, but the language that they feel in, their heart language. And David tells me that translation work at the moment, over 4,400 languages are in place. Now, can I just say, these are not just numbers. They represent millions of people who don't have access to the life-changing work of God's word. You know, our values, which we have over there on the side, one of them says that we want to make a difference in this world. And the Bible path, one of the things that calls us to do is to make a difference by helping to share God's word. Now, I've asked my friend David up here, and it's for a very specific reason. David, could you tell us what you spend most of your days doing?
Yes, I'm a part of a leadership team for SIL Global's Asia Pacific area, and there's about 1,000 staff in that area, and we work in 230 language projects right across the Pacific and Asia. And a lot of those are translating scripture, translating the Bible into the local languages.
So you are actually someone, we're not just talking about this in theory, you're someone who does this day to day, right? So, now, that sounds to me to be like an incredibly amazing type of area to be involved in, but also sounds very complex. Can you explain to us what's involved in kind of translations? You know, like, I mean, like, I imagine going to a foreign country with people who either speak a completely different language, there's nothing written. What do you do?
Well, Wendy and I did this in Vanuatu. We were invited to be advisors into a language project. And so the first thing was we learnt the language and culture so that we could talk meaningfully about translation issues with the language team that we were working with there. The first thing is to figure out what the goals of the project are. So what do people actually want? It's usually a community is asked for scriptures in their own language. They're familiar with a national language, but they say, we want to hear what God says to us in a language that's the most meaningful to us. So we talk about, is this stories of Jesus? Do you want the New Testament? Are we talking about Old Testament, a whole Bible? And can even be incremental. So start with translating the four Gospels. So that's how we start. We draft verse by verse in a translation, usually starting with a narrative text because they're simpler than the epistles or Hebrew poetry. So some story like Ruth or Jonah or the Gospels. And as the translation team gets some skills and learns how to translate and make decisions, then we branch into other more complex translation materials. But after the first drafting, there's a check, an exegetical check. So that's the contribution we made. The community also does a check on the naturalness. Does this sound like the way we use our language? And then at some point there'll be an expert consultant check through with the team, someone who knows Hebrew and Greek very well, and they'll check through with us verse by verse, and then when corrections are made, then a publication is made.
Now, that just sounded incredibly complex, or else it sounded like you reduced years of work into 3 minutes. You said we try culture. Yeah. We begin with kind of simpler passages to translate. One of the things that we were talking about is when you're doing this, you try to identify some key people that you're working with. What sort of things are you looking for in a key person when you're having that conversation?
A lot of the folk we work with are church leaders, pastors, elders in the church, committed people who really have a passion to see their language used. So they have a sense that the national language isn't communicating to them as well as the language they use every day and would like to know more what Jesus sounds like when he speaks to them. And so it can be inspired local individuals. It can be folk from outside the community who have a passion to share God's word with the believers, a small faith community within the community as well. So lots of different folk involved, but usually a team of multiple, say four or five folk get together, and a part of our contribution is training them in translation skills as well. You're right, it's complex, but man, it's good fun.
Oh, yeah. How long, like say for example, if you were starting from today and you wanted to translate the Gospel of Mark, all right? Mark's a relatively simple gospel to kind of grab a hold of, I imagine, thinking in my own head and stuff and things like that. What would that be, 3 weeks or 3 years or 13 years? What would it be?
Mark's gospel, maybe 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not an easy process. In fact, the very first chapter of Mark is quite complex because you've got John speaking about what Isaiah said. So we might start from chapter two.
I know that in recent years there's also been incredible developments with the use of IT tools and stuff like that, hasn't there?
Yes, there's some very specialist tools used for managing translation work. So someone can be working on a laptop in a village, a remote village in the Solomon Islands, for example, and do a send receive, and a consultant in the US could be seeing the same work that they're doing and commenting on it. There's also tools for managing language data. So as we do translation, we're compiling a dictionary at the same time and doing grammatical analysis, analysing the discourse features of the language so we can know something's a story, not a fairy tale. There's quite clear features that indicate that in the language. We also have tools that help with literacy and education development as well, because the Bible's quite a complex book to read, so if that's the only written text you have in the language, it's really hard for people to learn to read, so often we'll develop literacy early reading materials as well. So there's good, brilliant tools to help work with that. And more and more AI is being used in translation processes as well. We have a massive conversation on right at the moment talking about ethical use of AI in translation work. And one of the suggestions at the moment, we're thinking that if two New Testament books are translated by hand, normal process, there's enough text in there to do reasonable draft translations of the rest of the New Testament, so that's where AI is headed.
There's some amazing things in there, and I understand the complexity because the Bible's full of all sorts of different genres and stuff like that, like you mentioned before. It makes it kind of a little bit tricky, even for those of us who read it in English at times. Yeah. It can be tricky, let alone for those who have never had any of kind of much printed material in their own language. Now, as part of the Five Paths campaign, one of the things that many churches across the globe are committing to do is to go, it's not acceptable that there is so many languages that still remain to be untranslated. And so for us as a church, we are committing ourselves to participate in one of these specific languages. Now, I asked you a while ago, David, about one of these languages, and you came up with a language for me. What's the name of the people group?
There's a community in Solomon Islands called the Gao, G-A-O, Gao Language Community. And we have some connections with that group here in Australia. Those of us who work with SIL Australia have been teaching and training a couple of people from that region. And one of them is a guy we think has great potential to be a manager of multiple language projects in the Solomon Islands. And he and his father have been part of the translation team for the Gao. And just last year, they completed translation of the New Testament and Psalms and was published, and they're continuing on with Old Testament translation. So the community just loves the idea of God speaking to them in a language that really resonates with them. They have a national language, but it doesn't. It's a bit like that cloud picture you said before of climbing the mountain and it's all shrouded in fog or clouds. And the local language speaks far more meaningfully to them. So we've thought that the Gao project might be a really good one to share. It's quite a small community. There's other translation projects going on right around that Gao area, and another couple of language projects, and they work together. They sort of talk about exegetical issues together. They compare how they've translated different passages, and that encourages them to work together.
Fantastic. Wouldn't it be a gift? Wouldn't it be a precious gift if we could help sponsor a language so that a people group could have it in their own heart language? Wouldn't that be an amazing gift for us to do? You know, I was chatting to David, and there are three different components for us as a church that we want to do with this. Some part of it is a number of dollars, and I'm going to share with you this set of information at the end, about training. Up on the screen, there's been a guy by the name of Advent, who David referred to as the son of kind of one of the original guys. They see him as a man who's got potential not only to be involved in the immediate translation, but also to supervise other languages in the area as a project manager. part of that is that he needs some further training. There's a need for money to help with the operating cost for the translation as they work on Old Testament books. There's another amount of money that's needed for, now I've got to get this right here, it's a support for another translation program related to it called the
Bugotu.
Bugotu. See, you hear that? The Bugotu translation, right? So what we are doing as a church is this totals approximately $25,000, all right? $25,000 to bring and give a gift of a translation into people who don't have much of God's word in their own heart language. Now, we're not going to do that today, okay? In 6 weeks' time, I think it's 6 weeks' time, you saw up here on the screen before the 40th anniversary celebrations. We're going to take up a special offering on the 40th anniversary, which is going to be primarily centred on a gift of language for those who don't have it, to be able to gift God's words for people in their own heart language. Does that make your heart pump a little bit faster? It does for me. You know, we take for granted, don't we? I mean, if you come over to my office, I've probably got 6 different translations sitting on my shelf somewhere. On my laptop, I have, I think, 12. I have an excess. People have limited. And we want that to represent part of our heart of gifting that, to help invest in this man to develop and to do translation and to, in a sense, almost spread that beyond even the GAL group and to do in these other groups. Wouldn't it be an exciting opportunity to make a difference? And I think it's fantastic that we've actually got people that many of us don't realise who are right here who are involved, people like David and Wendy and Christine and Peter and Raywin, who are investing already in this area in the life of the global church. And I think it's an amazing thing to celebrate. Would you give my friend David a round of applause? And we're going to share about that over the next weeks and how you can be involved in that. And that's a wonderful thing to be involved in. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, I've never thought of my friend David as beautiful. He's a Geelong supporter. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But you know, good news is not only to be shared, is it? Because God's word has a transforming power in ourselves. When I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight. Food for our body, yes, but food for our soul. Peter puts it this way. He says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you'll grow into a full experience of salvation. God's word feeds our soul, feeds our spiritual appetite. You know, I want to invite you, as much as we talk about walk, run and soar for being involved in the global sense, we also want to talk about it in our own sense. Because are you being fed? Are you taking opportunity to devour God's words? You know, we have little postcards here available. You didn't get them on your way out because I wanted you to get one on your way, on your way in. I wanted you to pick one up on your way out. There are postcards like this which are available under the kind of exit sign at the back of the auditorium. There are some available on the welcome desk, and there's some available kind of right near the kind of exit, the doors as you go out. Because I don't just want you to be involved in the global sharing of God's word. I want you to be invited to participate in yourself. On that sense there, up there on the screen, it's got 3 kind of steps, and we're talking about practical steps each week as we talk about these things. Walk, run, soar. Walk step is this. So it's got a QR code there. It's a QR code on the postcard. If you don't know how to use a QR code, ask any of the team or someone maybe a bit younger and they will be able to show you how to use a QR code. What they are is links to a Bible app and reading app called YouVersion. It's actually a wonderful free version of God's Word and it has all sorts of reading plans in it. And they are links to 3 different reading plans. The walk plan is maybe you've never really sat down and spent time reading God's word before. Man, you want to just test the waters. The walk plan is for 7 days, and the readings take about 15 minutes. Maybe you've never done it before, and you want to walk. Grab one of these cards, put the QR code in your phone or whatever else it is, and it will link to it. Maybe you've been doing that before, and I want to go a little bit more. Instead of just milk, I want to get like a hamburger. All right, and you want to take a little bit more food on board. The middle one there is to run, and that will link to a reading plan, which is a 30-day overview of the Bible. A whole bunch of readings with some details in it. Maybe that's where you want to start. Maybe you've done some more, you want to get into that. Or you want to soar. The final one there is one of the reading plans that works through the Bible in a year. It's a plan that I regularly use. Has readings kind of like each day from an Old Testament, a Psalm, something from the New Testament, a variety of different things, and a little bit of commentary if you'd like to read that. Maybe that's something that you want to commit yourself to. The thing I love about it is that it actually can kind of, it works live, you know, like so each day as you tick it, it will go to the new one. Now, the thing that's a bit tricky about it is that normally, you know, it starts January 1, 2, 3. And I don't know if you ever feel guilty because, you know, you haven't quite kept up to scratch. Well, you can actually kind of backtrack it so that it keeps to the day that you're at without having to feel too much about that. Maybe that's where you want to start. Because it's not just about a gift for other people. It's actually about the opportunity to take it on ourselves. Because God's word is good news. It reveals to us the very nature of who God is. You know, we could never by ourselves understand or solve the mystery of God. But God chooses to reveal himself. Across the world today, there are millions of people who have never heard God speak in their own heart language. They have no scripture to read. They have no psalms to pray. No gospel in words they fully understand. And yet we hold this gift, this precious gift, God's self-revelation. God making himself known. So I want to invite you to treasure it. I want to invite you to feed on it. I want to invite you to be transformed by it. And not only for us, but to do it for others as well. How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Let's pray together, shall we? For our God, we thank you that as much as you are the infinite God, as much as there is part of you that appears to be shrouded in mystery, in love, you have made yourself known to us. And we see you. We see you in creation. We see you in Jesus. And we thank you for the gift of your good news. Father, I pray for each one of us that we'd not waste that good news. I pray that we just wouldn't be kind of self-satisfied and kind of treat it with contempt. Father, I pray that it would be a joy to our hearts, that your Spirit would speak and bring it alive in our hearts and lives so that we might know you more and live as your people. Father, we thank you for these opportunities. We thank you for the gift that we have to be able to read and to eat in our own language. And our Father, we pray for so many people groups across the globe who don't have that. May others grab a sense of the vision of what could happen if people have your word in their heart language. And so we ask you to multiply your word so that people would be changed. Amen. I feel like we've had just a whole lot of information about different things that you can be involved in today. If you want to kind of know any of those details that you've kind of missed, or you want to be involved in a connect group or anything like that, we have people in the foyer who are at the welcome desk who have all that information available. If you're not sure who to speak to, some of them have lanyards around their neck with a little thing on there for the welcome team. So if you want to know what it is to sign or to register for any of those things, that would be wonderful if you could do that. If you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks and you've wondered what on earth these doors are doing either side of the room, one of the things that we are committing ourselves to do is to write someone's name up on those doors who we are praying for, and then to put your name underneath it. Those doors are going to be here in the auditorium on the stage for the rest of this year, because we're committing ourselves to bring good news to people who need good news. And there are pens like this available kind of near both of the doors. You grab one of the pens and you should feel free to write on them. Just because you didn't do it 2 weeks ago doesn't mean you can't do it today. Or maybe there's been things that we've been sharing today and you'd like to pray with someone after the service. Or maybe it's just some things that have been going on in your life during this past week, this past month, and you just love someone to pray for you. Down here on my left, on your right, it's where we always have a prayer team available after each service. They would love nothing better than for you to come up there and just sit down, and they'll just say, "Oh, what would you like us to pray for?" And to know that you're part of a community where you're supported. There's someone else praying for you. On your way out today, I want to encourage you to grab a hold of one of these postcards. Maybe take to heart this opportunity to share a precious gift, both to someone in need, but also to ourselves, so that our lives might be transformed as well. So as you go into this week, may the revelation of God, may God's work speak into your heart and soul, words of hope, words of life, words of grace and love, and feed you so you may grow and know him more. Amen.